It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid. You know, what if there wasn't any government?
Oh, my goodness, heavens and Murgatroyd, we would be what?
I don't know, better off, in my opinion. You know, Gary and I are going here in the break. He's heard the show. He's been on before and so on. But I played him some of the clips that I play for you guys and when I have different guests on and so on to kind of make a point. You know, it's Matrix, it's Gladiator, it's Lord of the Rings. It's always about this central power thing. Well, I'm going to play two more clips. It only takes a couple of minutes to do both of these. And there are two more that I want to have, and we'll share with you, and then we'll talk about it. And this one is from Gladiator. And it's between the Caesar is now, he's like, I'm just sick of the Senate. I'm sick of the people. How come I just can't do what I want? Well, his sister's like, don't even think about it. He goes, what? Allow them. She goes, well, he goes, allow them their illusions. And she goes, well, traditions. Okay. Are we just being allowed a tradition? Or the guys up top really see what it is. We're just being allowed an illusion.
Who are they to lecture me?
Commodus, the Senate has its uses.
What uses? All they do is talk. It should be just you and me in Rome.
Don't even think it. There's always been a Senate.
Rome has changed. It takes an emperor to rule an empire.
Of course, but leave the people there.
Illusions.
Traditions.
My father's war against the barbarians. He said it himself, it achieved nothing. But the people loved him.
People always love victories.
Why? They didn't see the battles. What do they care about Germania?
They care about the greatness of Rome.
The greatness of Rome. Well, what is that?
It's an idea. Greatness. Greatness is a vision.
Exactly. A vision. Do you not see, Lucilla? I will give the people a vision of Rome and they'll love me for it. And they'll soon forget the tedious sermonizing of a few dry old men. I will give the people the greatest vision of their lives.
And this was done right during the Bush administration as we're going into Iraq and all this big giant pomp and circumstance and drum beating and going in greatness of, bread and circuses. And then there's one more clip, okay?
I just wanted to say, though, it sounds like, I promise change, the illusion of change,
It's the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old, same, okay? And even in Hollywood, you have, people going one way or the other or whatever. That's why, Ridley Scott or Mel Gibson or whatever. I'm sure Mel Gibson's got some good coming out. And they're hammering on him now. They're giving them, I don't even know why, I don't care. Sometimes you're crazy people that have the best stuff anyway. So what we have in Gladiator, now he's going to give them a vision, all right? The Colosseum. Gladiators. Death. Fox News, okay? So here it comes, all right? So they're doing, Fox News, same thing. The Colosseum, Fox News. Fox News, Colosseum. It's the same kind of thing. So what happens is now you got these two senators that are, trying to get back to the Republic. They're trying to be good guys, all right? They're going to use the system. So they're sitting there out on the market, you know, at some, you know, having tea or whatever, and grog, whatever it is. And they're sitting there in this open marketplace, and they're looking out, and they're seeing, you know, these bills, these flyers, these posters that he's putting out, you know, gladiators, you know, they're going, and they're talking about it.
Games. 150 days of games.
He's cleverer than I thought.
Clever. The whole of Rome would be laughing at him. They weren't so afraid of his Praetorian.
Fear and wonder, a powerful combination.
You really think that people are going to be seduced by that?
I think he knows what Rome is. Rome is the mob. You conjure magic for them and they'll be distracted. You take away their freedom and still they'll war. The beating heart of Rome. It's not the marble of the Senate. It's the sand of the Colosseum. You bring them death. And they will love him for it.
They will love him for it. It's Rome is not the marble of the Senate. It is the sand of the Colosseum. It is not the Constitution. It is the people. The Constitution is manifest in all these monuments that they build, all this marble that they have. Right now, and you know when we were in Washington a couple of years ago, remember?
Oh, yeah.
We were up there. Did you tour any of the monuments or went around the Capitol
oh, yeah.
and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
You could see all this granite and marble just wearing and crumbling and falling off. It was getting old. They're rebuilding it. They're refinishing it. They're redoing it. You're seeing scaffold everywhere. They are so hollow inside of what they offer, the promise, they got to veneer it. You know, they got to cover, you got to have the monuments or you don't have the Washington. So I'm going, it's not the marble of the Senate. That's what they're thinking. That's what how they react. That's how they think, you know, but it's in us. You know, and some people have inspired us with that kind of thinking, like Ronald Reagan. That's why he was so popular. He made us feel good about us, not about the government. The other people think that feeling good about us means that they're because of the government, that the government is us. It's like our hometown football team or something. You know, ooh, we're out there, we're on the field, we're kicking ass. And I'm going, wow.
The way I saw that clip, maybe from a different angle, was that the sand of the Colosseum represented, you know, the distraction, the great distraction, so that he could, you know, he could build up his. You know, his own image as emperor, and then have all the people focused, right? I just kept seeing, like, all these eyes centrally focused right on the center post of the Colosseum while, you know, he's off being emperor and he's, you know, feeling good about himself.
Yeah, you know, one thing in the movie, the first time I went and saw it in the theater, and it was kind of one of those stadium theaters, you know, it kind of goes up real quick as a two-tier, you know, they're kind of smaller, but they kind of like a stadium. And the way they did it, and they're showing in the Colosseum, there was a scene to where they came out with these wagons, and they were throwing loaves of bread into the stands, okay? And the way the stadium in the movie theater was, it seemed like the seats in the theater kind of went with the seats of the Colosseum. You know, the way they had the angle. So you look to your right and you see seats, and your left you see seats up on the screen, and then you had they kind of blended in with the seats in the auditorium.
Wow.
And I went, oh, that's a good way of doing it. Bread and circuses. That's all this thing is about.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was actually taught that in my social studies class in seventh grade. I'll never forget, Mr. Peelan was his name, my teacher, and they taught us about bread and circuses. And I've carried that through, you know, to this day when I talk to people about the distraction of television, distraction of, you know, these different sporting events and, you know, Olympic games and all these things that, you know, meanwhile, while we are completely enthralled with the American Idols and the Dancing with the Stars and the Mel Gibson, you know, tapes or whatever, they're off planning and plotting and stealing and plundering our treasury and, you know, planning more foreign aggression. And, you know, it just continues while we're distracted.
And this is just such a good example of it. And there's another one that we'll do. During the break, we were playing some Matrix and Lord of the Rings and Braveheart and this kind of stuff. Just to, you know, I'm trying to make a point with Gary. And when we come back, we'll come back with, you know, the red pill scene with Morpheus and Neo in the Matrix. And when was the last time you saw the Matrix?
Oh, it's been years. It's been years. Probably even before I woke up.
Well, how many times did you watch it?
I think maybe once, maybe twice.
Virgin! Yeah, if you haven't seen at least triple digits, you know.
I anticipated all the sequels, and I was very involved in them. I love the films. But, you know, I'm really intrigued. I want to go back home. I want to sit my wife down on the couch and say, we're going to watch The Matrix from another perspective today.
It will totally, totally blow your mind. Every time I watch it, I'm on, I don't know, what, 30 times or something. I mean, you know, it's one of those. And I watch different movies just to be in a mood. Like, you know, you and I travel a lot. You know, I mean, you know, you and I are all over the country all the time. And that's the only time I ever get to see. I'm glad you got to come and hang with us here. You know, we'll get to that here in a little bit. But, you know, what happened is we go around. A lot of times I'll take what movies I'm going to take with me. You know, what mood do I want to be in before I give a speech? You know, what kind of mindset am I in? Well, let's see. Am I going to watch V? Am I going to watch Matrix? Am I going to watch Braveheart? Am I going to watch Patriot? Because you just want to get in the teeth grinding, being inspired so you can be inspiring. Well, that's what this show and what realityreport.tv and a lot of things Gary and I do is all about, to inspire you. It's a multiplier effect. We're going to multiply some more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind. Driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more. Okay? You listen to this show, I'm like, hey. You want to see how far the rabbit hole goes? You want to start hearing things about, you know, the original intent of the Constitution with Art Hamilton and who the Anti-Federalists were, which was like Patrick Henry and Thomas Paine, and Jefferson gets in after he comes back from France, and they did this while he was gone, of course. You know, you do, you know, this is, there's a little rabbit hole going down here. So there has been, a very long transition for myself. And for a lot of other people, I just started early, you know, earlier than most. I mean, I was in my late 20s in 88 as I started to go on my own path. I didn't look for some group to join or something. It was probably 5 years that I was doing this hardcore Man, I was speaking to a lot of different groups, doing a lot of different things, making a lot of friends, you know, learning to love a lot of people and their efforts, but I wouldn't join any group. You know, like the Arizona Breakfast Club, you know, that I run now for years. I wouldn't have anything to do with them. I mean, I go speak and so on, but I go, look, if I do this, you know, it's going to be totally different. And, you know, we did things like even working with the Libertarian Party. When I finally registered Libertarian, 2 hours later, I was elected Maricopa County Chairman. Because I had been working with them for years, but I needed my independent status for my lawsuits against the state elections. And then when I got a concession from them on, you know, some law thing and an argument and I win, then I go, okay, well, I guess I can be Libertarian now. It was the first time that I joined any kind of a collective was the Libertarian Party. And then I'm just like, yeah, there's another collective, you know, but the concept, libertarianism, that's where, you know, the future is. And it, you know, it evolves into this anarchist kind of, I don't need to be ruled thing. So now, Gary, you know, it's, you know, you've been here a couple of days, you know, you're having some fun. You're meeting some of the guys, you see what we do and how and why and everything. It infect you a little bit.
Yeah, I'm really just awestruck with the capabilities you have here. I mean, just from the printing presses to the studios to the television studios, production rooms, you know, and just the couple of couches in the refrigerator that people can come over and they can sit down and they can and brainstorm and come up with ideas and just allow the concepts of liberty to boil over. And this is really the place where it's happening. And I'll be straight up honest with you, man. I would love to have a place like this in Chicago that we could just start. I mean, I'll tell you a little quick story. When Russo was still with us, we were planning on building a volunteer center that would be similar to this, but it never came to fruition. There was a lot of issues that arose out of that. But, you know, it's I've had a great time. I've had a great time here, you know, going to the range with you today. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, and especially when we went out and we were tracking down the police state and climbed a mountain. And we're filming down into a Homeland Security detention center. All of a sudden, we're hearing rapid machine gun fire, and we're seeing explosions going off in the distance. And I mean, just the things I've seen here. I don't know. I'm just speechless.
Well, you know, you come from, you know, it's one thing when we have people, a lot of my friends and so on that come over, and we don't need to get in too many gory details. But, you know, we have people certainly stay at our home. You know, we're like, look, you know, you need to know, you know, by this door there's a firearm, by this door there's a firearm, and where it is around the refrigerator, and they're not all in my gun safe. I mean, you know, I don't have a lot of the, you know, the big, giant, ugly stuff out. You know, but, I mean, do you have a 12-gauge shotgun? Well, yeah, I just got that. I've been wanting one forever. I finally was able to afford or had one that was used at, you know, where it came from. It was Jet. Jet had a friend that had it didn't work, and he gave it to me for, I don't know, he needed some money, whatever. I had some money, and we worked it out. But it didn't work, so I knew a guy that's a gunsmith that I had him fix it. You know, I said, go ahead and do this. And I went into Cabela's and bought this folding stock thing and do it, and I got, ooh, it's looking good now. You know, so I got, okay, so now I finally got my 12-gauge. I've been all this time without one for home protection, so I have that. Well, you know, this is where that is. You know, this is where this is. This is where that is. And Gary's like, oh my God, I'm from Chicago, man. I don't know if I'll be able to sleep.
Yeah, you know, out in Chicago, that's just something you don't see. I mean, people have been trained so much up there to fear guns and to be, you know, just to, at least in the cultures that I've grown up in, you know, of course we know Daley and his fight against the Second Amendment and gun ownership. And so when you're surrounded by that much firepower, as it would be, you're kind of taken back for a moment, but at the same time, it's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
so, you know, big deal.
You know, well, I tell you, you went to the gun range today, Ben Avery. It's a Phoenix Point of Pride, and it's just off the highway up north of Phoenix. Well, it's in North Phoenix. It's not even, it's in the city limits. So you go north Phoenix area up there, you go to this government gun range. It's the Arizona Game and Fish, runs this gun range, and you see, heck, you know, at least a third of the people there were women.
Yeah, yeah, there's quite a few women out there. They're, you know, busting caps out at the targets, and, you know, you hear some pretty big bangs, and, you know, we were shooting, I don't know what that specific rifle was, the bolt action. That thing had some kick. And, I mean, I'm still feeling it in my shoulder. That was awesome.
It's just a 30-06 hunting rifle. I mean, it's a, you know, it was some weird thing. I think it's a, how would they call it? It was a Winchester, but it was just a name. It was a knockoff made in Japan, somebody was telling me. I mean, it's just old. What happened, how I got that firearm, is we had a gun raffle one time that I won, okay? We draw the names. You get like six names. You put numbers on them. Then you roll a die. And, you know, whichever number comes on is the guy that wins. Woohoo! I win. And all it was is $500, you know, prize to go find. I went in the Arizona Republic, you know, Mr. Anti-Gun newspaper here and so on, classified section. Now, this was, late 90s, I think it was. It was quite a little while ago. And we had this raffle. I got the money. I go, okay, and then I got to go get the gun. So we went in the classified section for $500. This guy was selling a gun that he had bought, got it all tricked up and everything. I mean, it's not a real expensive one. But he kept putting in to get drawn to go hunting, and he never got drawn. And he was so angry, he just said, yeah, here, just take it. I'm never going to go. $500, got it, private sale, no nothing, everything I got. Well, of course, now everybody listening to the show knows I got it. But, you know, and the man's always listening. Hello. And so I have this 30-06, and with a bolt action, it kicks a lot.
It kicks like a horse.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Why are you fighting? What are we fighting for? We're just waiting for the hammer to fall, you know, here on Declare Your Independence. But, you know, just because it's falling doesn't mean we got to go volunteer and get under it. Let it fall over there. Can I be over here? I want to be over here. So certainly in Arizona, for a lot of reasons. I mean, we got a lot of problems here. I mean, you know, the government, the reason that we highlight them, it's a lot of problems that you have around the country. We just deal with it a little bit differently because we can. We have been doing this for decades. I mean, I've been involved here in Arizona since 88, and I'm telling you, there are so many people that a lot of the people like Gary that we've been around the country, you see, what if they were concentrated of this mindset here in one state from a lot of different directions, a lot of different philosophies, a lot of different, just advocating the autonomy of the individual and that the government should do what their prime directive is and defending rights and yada, yada, yada. You do that, you know, for a couple of decades, things change. And that's what, you know, so Gary, I think, you know, should I advocate that he do this in Chicago? I don't know, you wind up dead, you do it in Chicago, you know?
Yeah, they have a pair of cement shoes waiting for, you know, anybody that steps out of line over there.
Yeah, so it's unique to your area.
Chicago is, I mean, you know, the best hope we have for Chicago, and we've been quite successful at it over the years, is, you know, passing out DVDs. I think we, in the Chicago area, my crew and myself and others have passed out over 60,000 DVDs of various films.
Powerful.
Yeah, I mean, and I got an email once from a lady who had said she received a DVD. We had three films burned onto the DVD, and there was a special message I had recorded and placed on the DVD. We called it the Triple Threat. And the email I get is like, you know, this lady says, I got the DVD. It was just handed off to me at work. And this DVD has been passed around the office several times. So it was one DVD that made its way from cubby to cubby to cubby, infecting minds, infecting minds, infecting minds. So another story, a DVD fell into the hands of a trucker who got it from a waitress, who got it from another trucker that ended up in Ireland, of all places. You know, that's what happens to these DVDs.
You know, we did. You remember when we did the big Ron Paul billboard? You know, on the highway between Vegas and Los Angeles. It was an old Stuckey's that a supporter had gotten, and he was screaming for the campaign to do something with it. He had these two enormous. It took 19 sheets of plywood to make one billboard.
Wow.
Okay, just one side. And there was two of them, and he had a big sign, you know, in front, and then he had this big tractor trailer that we put, you know, stuff on. And we were there 4 days, a crew from Pasadena and Las Vegas and Arizona. And we were there, had, I don't know, a dozen people that were there working for 4 or 5 days. Well, we made all these signs. We came up with all kinds of different new methods of doing this stuff, and we had some fun. So what we got out of this was a place that people would pull over and stop. They didn't even have a gas pump or anything there at the time. So they were just trying to get people to stop. It's the only place they had an outside shower. All these bikers would go there in the summer and just douse off and cool off. And then on their way, and they'd get a little general store there and so on. And then they opened a restaurant, a little bar, and a pool table, and just kind of kept growing. Well, they got government giving them all kinds of crap the whole time, and it's just pissing them off. So they said, you know what? We got billboard space for Ron freaking Paul, all right? They're big, you know, constitutionalist people, Republican-type patriot guys. And so these crazy anarchist libertarians, man, they didn't know what to do, but we became good friends with them. They allowed us, really to their benefit, but we just gave them, or really cheap at cost or so, a lot of stuff. You know, we had the t-shirts, we had a bunch of bumper stickers, we had the hats and scarves and all kinds of stuff, and DVDs. And they said that they got more stories from the distribution of those DVDs with the truckers and all the people that came in and so on. They gave out free DVDs all the time with purchases of whatever. And they took those and they went everywhere. We have done probably, you've seen our duplicator room.
Oh, yeah, I'm jealous.
We have done probably about maybe 100,000 DVDs. I remember during the Levolution, just a little, the Labo bags, we call them, you know, here in Arizona. But they're just a Revolution bags. You have a white lunch bag that we stamped with the, you know, Revolution on it. And we put DVDs in them and bumper stickers and little flyers and all kinds of crap. And we'd pass them out wherever we'd go around the country. Well, what happened was we did 30,000 of those of America, Freedom to Fascism. You know, we made, you know, a bunch of copies of that. Well, then we started doing, we did Obama Deception and Freedom to Fascism, a double feature. Then we did For Liberty, the Ron Paul documentary movie. Then we go to all these tea parties.
Now you gotta do Freedom to Fascism and Don't Tread on Me.
You send me the files, man. We're all over
all
it.
Right.
I know you combine them. You do it.
I'll put the disc together.
All we gotta do is we put it in the memory on the hard drive on that thing. Push the button, start loading them, and it does. It's 11 stack. And we have three of them. So we do 33 movies at a time, and it takes anywhere from 4 to 7 minutes to burn a full DVD, okay, depending on the size. So you know, think about every 5 minutes, you got 33 movies coming out. So how many 5-minute segments are there in an hour? What, 12? So you got, is that right? You know, so, yeah, 12 times 33 is what? A lot.
Do the math. I don't know.
You know, it's like...
math was never my strong point.
Yeah, it's like 350... It's a bunch.
It's a billion, quadrillion.
Yeah,
how much is a quadrillion?
It's 330 is 10 plus 2. It's like 340, whatever. I don't make me do math. Anyway, so it's a bunch, all right? So... we have the capacity to just really infect a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
That was the intent. Then you see our silk screening thing over there. We didn't even got serious about that yet. I mean, we had our graphics guy was on vacation. He just got back. He's doing all the artwork for some other project that we're doing. And then we're going to have them do a bunch of graphics for the T-shirts when we start mass producing those. Oh, I was telling him, all right, I'm going to share this with y'all. MARV, which stands for, I don't know, Mobile Assault Recreational Vehicle, I don't know, whatever the heck it is. It's the RV for when they did Motorhome Diaries. Well, now they're doing Liberty on Tour. They're going around the country, and they're selling advertising on the sides and inside and around and refrigerator and all this kind of stuff. Well, we bought these big advertisements on the side, now both sides and inside and, you know, that kind of stuff for when they do their YouTubes and so on. And we are getting that. As soon as that's done, we're going to be talking to NASCAR. Let me tell you what happened. When we did the Obama visit here, and you had Black Chris came out with his AR-15 and all that, and they made a big woohoo about that, I went on CNN. You type in CNN Ernest Hancock, and you'll see the episode title, and I don't have to go into it. You can just watch it. But while I was on there, before I even got into the parking lot, I get a call from a woman. She was the PR liaison from a racing team that does NASCAR trucks. I guess NASCAR has these truck things or something. Well, they had an advertiser, and I don't know, some big gun thing, you know, Smith & Wesson or Ruger or whoever the heck it was, doesn't matter. So they have a gun advertiser on these trucks. NASCAR, truck, gun, definitely goes together, right? Well, the network Speed or Speed Week or Motors, whatever the heck it was, and I think it's owned by Murdoch, you know, it's a Murdoch thing. They told them, you get a gun sponsor, we don't care if you're in first, we're not going to give you airtime. Which all the reasons why these sponsors do that, so they get on TV and they show and they're part of and you woohoo and we're in it. And they go, nope, not going to do it. Guns, nope, not welcome on TV, no gun sponsor, no gun, no. Really? So they call me, what can you do about it? I said, you get a gun sponsor. We're working on it now. We're going to send them all the stuff of all the different groups and everything on MARV, on Liberty on Tour. And we'll say, look, you get a team. We'll do the sponsor. We'll find the money. We'll work to where the freedom movement has a NASCAR with gun sponsors and a bunch of other freedom-oriented stuff on it. I don't care if they're in last freaking place. Yeehaw! We're partying for the NASCAR. Get it? Get it? This is the kind of stuff that I do. And I got 15 gazillion of these irons in the fire all the time. So Gary's like, well, how do you get and do? And I'm going, look, man, they just all have their own timing. They come into fruition and maybe a month, maybe a year later. But when you got 47 irons in the fire, you know, some of them are glowing ready to use at one time or another.
Yeah, and you know, I feel the same way. A lot of projects we work on, you know, as you know, we have films and video productions. I'm working on a project right now that should be ready in about, I mean, tentatively about 5 to 6 weeks. That's going to help. That we feel is going to help influence congressional leaders and different things like that. And I mean, that's just one aspect of different domains. And we also have the new Restore the Republic website that's going to get updated pretty soon. We're really excited for that release. That's been a 6-month project alone. So, yeah, I mean, you got irons in the fire. Some glow hot, some glow a little cool. And then you revisit and you stoke the flames again and you pop it out and you got a nice big, you know, thing. You bang it down and you got a nice sword, you know, and you can cut down whatever.
This has been, you know, and I tell you where a lot of this came from. It was just knowing guys like Gary. You know, a lot of other people have just added to the tapestry. And they have, you know, like Gary has an enormous database. What happens if we got some big giant woo-hoo thing? You know, is he going to tell his people? Yeah. And when he does something, am I going to tell mine? Yeah. Like we did our little joint project. First day he gets here, he walks in. We go, yep, got to do the paying, stop paying taxes sticker right outside here. And I'm like, Gary did it. Gary did it. I didn't do it. Gary did it. It was Gary's.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
It just ain't the same. Always a change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? Love and peace is so strong. Why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs. Chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of the dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on, I don't know. What's the truth, y'all? Come on, I don't know. What's the love, y'all?
Yeah, the love is right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Gary French. He's got a lot of love to share, too. RealityReport.tv and RestoreTheRepublic.com. Yeah, what do you think of this flyer, man?
You know, I'm looking at this thing here. Sorry we missed you. While you were out, Agent 4409 stopped by on behalf of the Office of Total Information Awareness, and it goes down a checklist. You know, because you were out, we decided to inspect your trash. We checked your waste, garbage, and as a result of our visit, you are considered a person of interest and may be subject to monitoring, media harassment, etc. Please call aztiphotline.info.
And the phone numbers are,
and the, phone numbers are there.
The newsrooms at the various different television stations.
You wanted for questioning. I mean, this is ingenious. I love these types of, you know, just guerrilla, gritty activist things.
You know, I got that off of the internet years ago. I mean, it must have been 02, 03 or something. It was that kind of, you know, spoof. And I go, oh, this is a good idea. And then I put it off as a JPEG, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't remember how I saved it. And then I came across it again. I go, yep. And I sent it to a graphics guy. I said, you know, and we sat around one day drinking beer, coming up with all these different things. Well, we made it. This one is like it's 8.5 by 14 cardstock, and you do them vertically, and you split it in half, so you get two. So 8.5, what is that? It's 4.25 inches wide and 14 inches long, and it's an orange flyer. So it looks like, you know, like you didn't separate your trash right, you know, so you get those little stickers on, or you didn't. They're going to shut off your gas, or you know, whatever. Okay, it's all these little orange sticker things. So we put it, they got those big trash cans that they do as automatic trash dumpsters, guys, things that you have in front of your house. And you take them, you wheel them out, and you put them on your sidewalk, and then the big arm comes out and the green monsters, and they dump it. Well, we go after they dump it, and you just lift up the lid and you put it on. Go to the next one, lift up the lid. You don't even have to get out of your car. And you just do a whole line of them, and you just do a whole neighborhood. It'd take you, in an hour, you could do hundreds, if not thousands. So you go ahead and you do that, and then somebody goes out. You didn't have to go on their property. You're on public property on the sidewalk. You didn't have to go up to their door. You didn't, you know, stick anything on anything. It's just sticking in, and it's right by, heck, it's half in their trash can. They don't want to just throw it in the trash can, okay? But they open it up, and it has a Total Information Awareness logo on it, which was real. In 0203, they came up with this thing, and it's like a circle, and it has a pyramid with all CNI looking down on the earth. And that was real. And we tell the story of that on when you go to that azinfohotlinetip.com, whatever the heck it is on there. You go there, and yeah, let me give it so people know you can go to it. It is www.az, for Arizona, aztiphotline.info, aztiphotline.info. And we haven't updated it recently, but you go there and you'll see all these stories that, and we're really proud of it. Yeah, we're here to protect you. And it's links to stories in the New York Times and the Washington Post and USA Today about how the government and the Bush and Obama administration, they're giving authority to UPS drivers and the meter guy for the water and the meter guy for the gas and electricity that's going to, you know, report families that they think might be terrorists. Remember that program? So we do this, and we said, look, yeah, while we were here, we checked your trash, talked to your neighbors, you know, got the records from your doctor. Then we have another one that's a smaller version that we do when we go to conventions and put them under the doors in the hotels. We checked your mini fridge, we talked to your maid, you know, we checked the movie rentals, I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. Ooh, okay, porn there, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So, I mean, you know, so we do that, and it freaking freaks people out. That was the point. We did it at the Libertarian National Convention in Denver in 08. When we did that, you know, the number that we had was to the Denver newspaper there. And I'm just going, you know, we can have a lot of fun with this because it hits people emotionally. It plants a seed. It really, like, oh, because they go, well, I got nothing to hide. Well,
and they just feel like perhaps they've been violated.
Because
they've been violated. Well, what? You've gone through what? You've done what?
See, a lot of these people, I tell you who has the biggest impact on this. It's always the Fox-watching conservative right-winger guy that, you know, it's not a big deal on somebody else. You do it to them, man, they freak out. And you got a noisy neighbor, you got a guy that doesn't clean up his yard, you got a guy that's, you know, got late-night parties, you put this on his trash can, all of a sudden he gets to be a good neighbor.
I love it.
Then, but the whole concept is to, you know, feel the pain. Well, the media, they know it's us. They won't. You look at the door as you go out there. It says Glendale Police. We put the article up. It's on the door out there. You can look at it and read it from the paper. We didn't even put these out. We just had them printed, and right before the Super Bowl was here with the Patriots and the Giants, okay?
Uh-huh.
We were having fun with that because, you know, Ron Paul, the Patriot logo you see, he's like a Patriot.
Yeah.
That was from that football, you know, game. So what we did is we were putting a bunch of stuff out. We had the helium-filled Ron Paul little blimp balloons, Mylar and so on. We put them on monofilament line for, like, fly casting and so on, you know, the fishing line, and we'd wrap it around a light pole, and it would, the helium would just take it to the top of the pole. How do you get those down? You don't. I don't know, police going around with BB guns or something. I don't know what the heck they were doing, but they were all over the place. There was nothing they could do about it. That they go down, cherry pickers taking them down or something. So they didn't like us none too much for that either. So at the same time, these flyers happened to be sitting in their workshop, and some guys just grabbed a stack of them, 40, 50 of them, put them around their neighborhood. Boom, immediately the next day it was in the newspaper. Glendale police say pay no attention to orange flyers. Then they write in there and they go, oh, it's just some anti-government type trying to cause a ruckus. They knew it was me. I'm like, come on, fish on. You know you want to play. Because who were they calling? They were calling the police because they were all upset. And they were going to the website. And the police go to the website. And all the stuff on there is true about them being a little communist, you know, a tyrannical police state. So what are they going to do? Bring more attention to it? Heck no. Come on, take me to court, butthead. You know? So then the newspaper, you know, they're getting all these calls from people to the newsroom, you know, on the phone number in there is the newsroom. So then we added later, we'd do it, you know, we'd have a bunch of them printed up, like eight of them up or four of them up on a big sheets of paper and so on. Or we'd do a bunch of different ones and plates, and we'd have different phone numbers. So we'd have like two television stations on this one and a radio and a newspaper on this one and some other stations on this. This is how we get the penetration that we do here. If you did something like this in Chicago...
Oh, my goodness.
I got to tell you, if you're not at least a little uncomfortable with your position, it isn't radical enough.
I'd love to do something like this in Chicago. I mean, considering, you know, people park on the street in Chicago. So, and the city of Chicago is ruthless when it comes to giving out parking tickets. They will tell you... They're so ruthless that they will take a... you park in front of a tree or a lamppost or whatever, they will go ahead and they will put a sign, a paper sign, wrap it with twine, and it says no parking. After you've already parked there, you're gone. You don't even realize it. You come back, your car's gone. And you look up and there's a paper sign. It wasn't there. And now you got to go down to the south side of Chicago.
And they get away with this stuff?
Oh, yeah. They steal your car and they make you pay $200 to get it back. You got to take three buses, and you're going down neighborhoods where there's billboards that say, please don't shoot, I want to live, and there's a small child holding a teddy bear. I mean, that's the kind of billboards you see on the south side of Chicago. So you've got, serious criminal behavior on behalf of the government there.
Oh, I got a good little project for you. Here's another one. We haven't done it like, because it's not. We don't have the kind of parking thing here. There's a lot of parking here in the Southwest, you know. But what we did, and this was an idea that we had done when I had a restaurant. During Christmas time, we would do these like red and green card. It'd be a nice little business card, and it'd be like a Christmassy kind of Christmas card looking thing on it. On the back, it would have a picture of a dime or a quarter or whatever. Usually we use nickels or dimes if you can put them in the parking meters. And it'd say 5 minutes free parking of so-and-so pizza, de la whatever, love you long time, right? You put them on the card, you put a nickel in the meter, you go to the next one, you go to the next one, you go to the next one. People go, cool, that was better than not. I mean, you know, you got nice advertising, you gave them some free parking, they're all good. They make laws making that illegal now. You can't put money in somebody else's meter. Why? Because they can't get the revenue. So what you do, what if you do Restore the Republic or Reality TV, you know, realityreport.tv on 5 minutes free parking courtesy of realityreport.tv, and you start putting nickels in all meters.
Let me tell you what they did to the parking meters in Chicago. They went ahead and sold them off to private companies. They sold the entire infrastructure of all the parking meters.
Need more reason to do it.
And now they have, they took out all the parking meters, and they have machines where you put credit cards in, and they print out stickers you put on the windshields.
Oh,
so you'd have to do a credit card transaction, and then you easily would be tracked down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's still, if you got, there's some park meter somewhere.
No, not anymore. It's all electronic.
Well, maybe in Chicago, but you got to have some municipality somewhere.
Well, maybe in Evanston.
You know, I mean, you know, but so you can see there's all kinds of creative things that you can do. And that's what we do.
Plant seeds, baby.
Yeah, you know, but what happens is they go, well, you'll get in trouble. They'll come after you. I go, yeah, maybe. They'll arrest you, probably. As long as I get it on videotape, that's going to be a good one.
We're going
to trial in that one. It's going to be not guilty. We're going to have a full courtroom. You want to play this game? Well, let's play. Let's play. We're going to do it my way. We'll be right back.